Hello, my name is Alexia Georgiou. I'm a life coach. Welcome to the Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. Today, we have a section from my latest ebook, The Framework for Successful Customer Service. We're going to be talking about the connection being key to success. So stay tuned. This is the Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. Please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast. Hello, my name is Alexia Georgiou. I'm a life coach. Please visit my website to learn more about my life coaching curriculum, my Substack newsletter. We have a gallery of videos, all available, as well as how to contact me and schedule a complimentary consultation. Hello, and welcome to the course on the book, The Framework for Successful Customer Service. I wanted to introduce the course and what it's about. And we're going to be talking about communication, problem solving, empathy, belonging, and creativity. So this is what the framework looks like. And we're touching on all of this in the course. So it's soft skills. We want to be able to put the oxygen mask on ourselves before we help others. And often we think of a helping profession, and you are very much included in this class, but we're also talking about the customer service agents who help us every day. You are so important, and everyone who works with people, really, you're providing customer service, and it's important to take care of ourselves to be able to take care of others. And so the way that we approach this is we're looking at studies on how people are treated at work, how that affects the morale, and how that spills over onto customer care. I wanted to talk about also the freedom within the framework. So wherever we work, we know that there's norms, and we know there's a certain degree that we can or cannot express ourselves with what we say and with expressing emotions. And some of that is not said. And so picking up on that requires a lot of emotional intelligence. And knowing what kind of freedom do we have within the framework and working within that freedom. So in the book, I tell a story. I went to my Wi-Fi provider. My deal was up for the year, and I was asking for a different rate, a new deal for the next year. And so I'm sitting there and I'm waiting. All the agents are busy. And here comes this man, and I'm the only one sitting there, and he says, "Is there an Alexa in the building?" And he holds out his arms and he smiles really big. And so I smiled. I knew what he was talking about, Amazon's Alexa. And he starts laughing, and it's a huge belly laugh. And he continues laughing as we walk over to his station. And this is in the time of COVID. We both have masks on. There's a shield between me and him, and we're not letting that affect our positive interaction. And so I look at him and I say, "You know, I'm so glad that I was able to bring joy to your day." And our conversation went really well. And it was just so nice to see the freedom that he has. I also, about a month ago, I had to get a COVID test. One of my colleagues, I had been in a meeting with him. There were seven of us spaced out in a room, and we were being very careful. And he disclosed, he said, "You know, someone that I was with all day in a meeting told me they have COVID. I tested this morning. I have COVID. And so I went to get a test." It wasn't so easy because our health department here in Knoxville, Tennessee, they were very busy and they said that the return of the test would be 8 to 10 days. So I looked at outlying counties because I could not find a medical provider. Everything was booked. And I went to an outlying county, Anderson County, and drove through some of the hills of Tennessee to get there. And they were able to give me the test almost immediately. There were like two or three cars ahead of me. And I gave them my driver's license for my information. So when I went to look at my results, they had said to me, you might have it within 24 hours, but we normally say 2 days. And so I was really anticipating because I had been around a group. I had been in another meeting. We were again socially distancing, but we were eating. And so we had to take off our masks. And so I really was anxious about it to tell them, you know, if I had COVID, I needed to inform them. And also I had a speaking engagement. I was a keynote speaker for the Accounting and Women's Financial Alliance here in Knoxville, Tennessee at their yearly meeting. And it was a hybrid in-person online meeting. And I agreed to provide the presentation in person. And so that was a few days away. And I needed to know. I mean, if I don't have test results, I can't go in person. If I have COVID, I can't go in person. I need to know. So I see that my results are in and I have to put my identifying information to get the results and my login information isn't working and it's my information. So I call customer service and we identify that my name was misspelled. It can happen with my name. They wouldn't tell me how it was misspelled, but I told them, this is my name. And they identified, okay, ma'am, it's been misspelled. Now they said, we won't give you the results. Can you change my name? And they said, we'll put a request in and you'll get results by email. So I was not happy with that. And they said, you have to wait 24 hours. So I called later that evening and I said, I don't have an email. I need my results. They said, ma'am, you need to wait 24 hours. Right at 24 hours, I'm logging in. It's still not working. I'm trying to guess, how did they misspell my name? I can't guess it right. And so as soon as I call, the customer service agent says, okay, it's been 24 hours. Call this number. I called a number. It was to the corporate offices in Nashville, Tennessee. The lady picked up right away. So I was so grateful it wasn't an AI situation where I had to sit there and go through prompts. She picked up right away. I told her everything I just told you. And she was silent after I stopped speaking. And it was one of those moments I said, are you still there? She said, yes. She said, how do you spell your name? And what is your name? And she typed it all in. She said, it's corrected. Give it about a minute to process and refresh. If you cannot log in and get your results, call me back. She was mortified that I had gone through this experience. And I told these customer service agents, I said, HIPAA, what do you mean HIPAA? HIPAA, how does it apply? Your contact tracing. We need to disclose to people that we have this. We're in a pandemic. What are you doing saying HIPAA? There are people who are at high risk that I've been around. Time matters. I need to tell them if I'm positive. Now, probably their sense of urgency was affected because they could see that my results were negative, but they wouldn't tell me they were negative. I had no idea if they were positive or negative. So they maybe didn't see the sense of urgency. So, you know, all of that I was very affected by. And I think there could have been more freedom within the framework in the moment to problem solve over a misspelled name. So that is what we're talking about, is being able to assess that and for those leaders to be able to provide the flexibility. Because when we provide flexibility and there's more autonomy, we have happy employees. And when the employees are happy, that's just going to naturally spill over to their performance at work. So this is what our outline is. We're going to talk about what is customer service. We do bring in a culture of belonging, and there's a lot on diversity, equity, inclusion, and we're going to define all of that and how we build true belonging. Because at work, when we feel like we belong, then we feel safe psychologically. And it's really important, despite all of the differences in diversity, to promote that. How do we do that? And also with our customer, when we feel like we belong, it's going to spill over to our customer. Also, something to consider, our customers may not be of the same belief system as us with religion, with politics, and it's important to work on our own biases so we don't act on it towards the customer. So we do talk about microaggressions. We have the skills training in the soft skills. We define what are the limits of autonomy, which is freedom within the framework. And we really look at that physical and psychological safety. There was a teenage boy, he was working for a fast food chain. And he said to his mom, "Mom, I don't fit in with you and your friends. I don't think I can work at this place anymore. And I know you love this place." She said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Well, I was having a shake poured down my pants and I still had to say my pleasure." And so we're here to say that it's important for employees to feel safe physically and psychologically and to have boundaries. And so it's the manager's job to step in to the customer and say, "I cannot serve you. You know, we cannot serve you at this point. We are not okay with this behavior. And if this behavior continues, we cannot serve you," and to protect that employee. And for the employees to also know, what are the boundaries? When can I stand up for myself and not get retaliated against by my employer that I did have that boundary? And so that's what the class is about. I am so glad you're here. I truly believe this will make a difference in people's lives as employees and as customers, and will just improve our overall interaction as human beings. Customer service. Everyone who interacts with human beings at work every day, you are providing customer service. So we use different terms. We may say employee. Well, if you're a manager, what if we treated that employee like we're providing customer service? If it's a congregant and it's a place of faith, what if we were treating the people who were part of it and who visited as customers? What about our patients and clients in the mental health and medical fields? We can provide customer service. We're not exactly a patient until we actually walk into the hospital. I had a preventative elective procedure that I wanted to schedule, and I was not happy with the customer service with the administration. And so I did not check myself in to that hospital to become a patient. And they were actually treating me like I was a patient. And they said, "Well, the doctor will need to decide." And I said, "The doctor hasn't even met with me. I've never met with this doctor. It's an elective procedure. It's preventative in nature. I don't necessarily have to choose your hospital. And I'm not happy with the customer service." And there were specifics there. And I did talk to my doctor's office about it. And so that brought a thought to me that we're not a patient until we enter in and agree. And I had not signed any paperwork even, and they were treating me like I was a patient and that I had no say. So customer service, I think if we change our thinking that the human being that we're interacting with is a customer, that will help us. We as employees act in the organization's best interest. And what is in the best interest? It's to work together as teams. The research shows that cohesive teams increase performance during stress in cases where individuals and poorly led teams panic. Back in the 80s and 90s, we were taught the word was rugged individualism, that we could go out there and get it and we could do it alone. And what we've learned is that that is not the case, even with leadership, that it's team oriented. And we need that unity. We need that cohesion and connection with one another. So when a crisis happens, when stress occurs, that we can pull together in support of one another, and that does affect the customer and the care that we provide. So we want to talk about how do we foster a culture of belonging in the place of work. And this is research backed, so we will look at these studies. And a real key skill that we all need to develop is empathy. Over a year ago, I had a loved one who was diagnosed with a condition, and I decided to talk about it. And as I talked about it, people were giving me advice. I'd never asked for advice. And the way I felt was disconnected during those conversations. Very few people actually listened to me and said, "This is what I hear you saying, Alexia. This must be really difficult for you. Tell me more." That's what empathy does. People thought they were being helpful by giving advice. Also, this loved one was getting advice. And it must have been so much more difficult for them because a lot of people were saying, "Don't trust the doctors." And we trust the doctors. And so it wasn't helpful. And this person wasn't asking for advice. Should I trust the doctors or not? Or should I try something alternative or not? They were just expressing, "This is what I've been diagnosed with." And so that's where my pathway to empathy began. So in organizations, we hear about mapping the journey of the employee, and we're beginning to hear about empathy mapping. And so I propose that we use empathy mapping with our customer. So what is our customer thinking and feeling? With this elective procedure, the way that the hospital system was gonna bill it, they were gonna do a procedure on me that wasn't necessary. And they were gonna build my insurance differently that way. And they required that I cover my deductible, which was a lot of money. And so I said to them, "I don't need this additional procedure. So why do I have to have it? This is a preventative diagnostic procedure that I'm coming in with." So we disagreed. And I felt like I was being used to make money. That was how I was perceiving it. And if they had stopped to have a conversation with me and say, "Okay, ma'am, let's explore this a little bit," then perhaps we could have come to an agreement. I actually, from the process of having to cancel the procedure, I had to call different departments. And also I had to cancel a COVID test because they wanted that before the day of the procedure. I shared this story with six people and not one person took a moment to say, "Oh, you're right, you don't need that additional procedure. Let's look into this." And I actually called my doctor's office and I said, "I just wanna make sure that they didn't get this wrong diagnosis about me." And they knew exactly on the referral slip what was stated. And I did verify my identity that they had the right person. So nobody stopped to think, what does she think and feel? Nobody apologized. Nobody said, "We'll look into it." It's just the way that things are done. And so I do not feel safe going to that hospital system as a customer. I chose not to go there. What does she hear? So was I hearing them correctly? It kind of doesn't make sense to me why you would do a procedure when it's not necessary. And so was I hearing that correctly? And that's important. If I'm reflecting back to the customer service agent and I'm saying, this is what I'm hearing, am I hearing it correctly? What does she see? So I was just seeing that they wanted to make money. Is that accurate? And that's a strong accusation. And I actually called the insurance company because they were questioning me. They were saying, well, are you sure your insurance company covers this as preventative? And this actual procedure, it's federal law, according to the Affordable Care Act, that it be covered under preventative for insurance companies. So just that they questioned that. So all I could see was they're doing things their own way and they're very interested in money and they're not interested in me. So there's pain that we experience and there's gain that we experience. And in a customer service situation, we have needs and we have wants. And so mapping, it's really important. And so have this out. This is a great visual to have when you are working with your customers, just to remember to think this way. It's something very new. So there's science behind empathy. And I found this very interesting. Scientists have identified a group of cells in the brain that could explain how we share another's pain. So if I see someone hurt, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna go, ouch. When you see your favorite athlete hurt on the field, what do we all do in the stands? Ouch. Ow, because it's the same part of our brain. Whether we're experiencing it or we're watching someone else experience it, it's the same reaction in the brain. The anterior cingulate cortex is active when we experience pain and when we observe others experience pain. So with higher empathy, this region is more active. And this is also present in animals in the same area of the brain. So I had an experience with a horse and it was at leadership training in Equus in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And a group of us were taken out into a field of horses and we were told, get familiar with the horse. So when I went up to the horse and I went to pet the horse walked away. And so when we got back in the group, we were asked to process in groups of two and then in the whole group. And I shared with the lady that I was partnered up with, I said, I felt so rejected when that horse walked away from me. And she was sharing similar experiences and then we shared in the group. And so our coaches said, when the horse walks, the horse is saying, walk with me. So we went in the field again to walk and to interact with the horses. And I waited and then I walked up to a horse and two people had been around that horse. And then all of a sudden the horse starts walking and I start walking with the horse. And these are mirror neurons happening because the horse picked up on my kindness and love that I was there to connect. And the horse made the noise and brushed the wind of his breath on my hair. And it was just a beautiful interaction. And the coach was really validating. Yes, the horse is really responding positively to you. And those were mirror neurons in interaction. And so when we're thinking about empathy, that we all need to belong. We all have that need. And we are so different as human beings. And so there's a lot being talked about with our diversity. Okay, so we're all different and we think different. we have different belief systems, and we're very divided to the point where we cannot even have a calm conversation about our differences. So that's our current reality. And it's not just in the USA. I'm hearing reports, I'm interacting with people that this is across the world. Then there's equity. So what does equity say? There is a Chamber of Commerce, and we'll be talking about how they bring in equity. And this is a unique practice. And we all need to think this way, because when we are on a team and we feel that sense of equity, that makes a difference in our morale and in our interaction with one another, and then in our work performance. It's all related. So equity means that everyone have an opportunity to have input. Even if that person's input isn't really going to be implemented, or they're not in the role to make that decision, equity says everyone needs to be heard. Equity, there are certain apps where everyone in the company can be matched up weekly for a 15-minute virtual coffee chat, where you meet on Zoom with the other employee in the company. Now, is it equity? Is everyone connected? So you may see a janitor meeting with the CEO, and that's valuable time for the CEO to give up 15 minutes. And are you willing to do that for everyone to feel equal? Inclusion. So this does foster, oh, I feel included because the CEO gave up 15 minutes of her time to meet with me on a virtual coffee chat that is truly randomly picked every week. So I'm feeling included in the company. That will go a long way. That is what is building a culture of belonging. And we need to bring that word in. I feel like I belong here. And it doesn't mean that everyone on the team thinks the same or agrees on issues. And so it's really important to value the diversity, because the research is showing that the bottom line earnings of organizations are positively affected more so when there is disagreement and where people have to be creative and innovate and problem solve to come up with decisions. If everybody socially gets along and believes the same, you're not going to have that interchange among one another, and you're not going to have the same results. So the World Happiness Fest is an international organization, and my company, the Knoxville Happiness Coalition, has initiatives with World Happiness Fest. There are two yearly events that we have, and we just had an event November 2020, Unlocking the Power of Belonging. And people across the world were sharing about belonging and the science of belonging and the neuroscience and what happens in our brain when we're using that empathy. So we are different, we think differently. However, we all experience one thing, and that's emotion. We are emotional beings. So the Business Empowered Mississippi Chamber of Commerce, this is an actual ad that they have. Chamber executives wanted coaching, speaking, training, and ambassador volunteer and paid opportunities are available for independent certified professional partners only. Apply now. So that does say that to be considered, there are qualifications and there are small fees. So there's a large membership fee for everyone coming to the chamber. And then to apply to be a coach that they may refer clients to for some business coaching, then there's a different fee than if you want to speak. But none of the fees are a lot. I looked at their site and I was very impressed. Now, this really stood out to me as a way to build equity in an organization. Chamber of Commerce's are nonprofits, and they are in communities. We have multiple Chamber of Commerce where I live, and I was part of one for 2 years. In no way was I approached to speak or to coach, to provide training, or to even be an ambassador volunteer, or to even serve on the board. And so it was very unclear to me how those positions are filled. I did express interest in providing training with the Small Business Development Center. It was largely ignored by the president of the chamber, and so I went to the small business director, and she told me, oh, we don't provide that. And so that was a situation I had to make sure, was I communicating clearly? And definitely they chose who they wanted to choose. Now, they had a breakfast series, and I watched it for 2 years. Not one time was there a woman, and every single breakfast series was a white man, with the exception of one, and this was a Black retired football player. So yes, they had someone of color, but I haven't seen a woman speak yet. So that really concerned me, and I decided not to renew and to step away. I spent 2 years of my life building relationships. So I looked into other chambers in the area. I visited, I spent the first 2 months in 2020 doing this. And when I was approached about joining, I would say, what opportunities are there to be on the roster as a coach, as a speaker, to provide training and development, because that would help my business. The answer I got, they would deflect. They would say, oh, it takes months. We need to get to know you. And so I didn't feel like there was equity. Like, what is your criteria to choose someone? Where's the application? How can I submit my resume to be considered? None of that. So I love what Business Empowered Mississippi is doing. This is just a golden standard, and you can reach them at bmississippi.com to look at how they are integrating equity for all of their members. Inclusion, the break room, water cooler talk. So, you know, inside jokes with gossip. Have you ever walked in a room and the talking stops, or they change the subject? Well, when that happens, it's normal to assume that they were talking about you and me. That's human behavior. And so really being mindful, we have to be mindful of these practices, because they're not gonna happen naturally. We have bias because we're human. And so we have to really work on inclusion. And maybe it's someone that we don't socially get along with, so we wouldn't be friends with them. Work is not a social club. Work is work. We are there to innovate and create and produce. We are there to serve the customer. And so we are there for that purpose. Learning to get along with everyone, including all the differences, that takes a high level of emotional intelligence. And so practice this. This is a great place to start. When someone sits down in the cafeteria and they sit at your table and you were having a conversation, think, how can I include them in on this? And address them and say, okay, we have been talking about this and it's kind of exclusive to our department, so you may not be interested in hearing that. Hey, and speak to everyone else at the table. Could we continue this conversation when we meet in our next team meeting? And can we have some fun now and talk about and just bring about different topics? And that way we are including that other person in the conversation. And that definitely needs to be intentional for that to happen, because it's not convenient for any of us. Roots, a framework for cultural belonging. This is a project with the DIA architecture firm here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And Parking Day, it's very interesting. It started many years ago in San Francisco. Now it's worldwide. It happens in September of every year. And it's a parking spot. And how can we bring people to the city, to urban areas? And how can we bring nature? And how can we occupy that parking spot for the day and create something amazing that's inclusive? And so my first year was in 2019 with the Knoxville Happiness Coalition. And I had a little booth and I had people drawing, what is your happiness? And we had a lot of fun with that. Well, 2020 comes and we're in a pandemic. And so our city decided not to have this in person. And so that's why you're seeing a visual. And I wanted to share this because this is where the framework started coming together. Is I knew I had this belonging event with World Happiness Fest. I was working on this book. And I just love how the architects captured the roots. And how we want people to feel safe to come and feel included and to be who they are. And for us to create those root systems together of what we have in common. And so this promotes true happiness, a culture of belonging. Have you ever acted differently in one environment than you did another environment? Have you noticed about yourself that you modify? I definitely have. So the best way to create change is social norms. We follow what others are doing because we have such a need for acceptance and connection. And we're not gonna be happy at work. Having bean bags or giving us snacks, it's great, but that's not creating belonging. If there's cliques where people are talking behind other people's backs, the politics, where the toxicity comes in, where the supervisor may even be talking about an employee with other employees, I have had that happen to me. And that's just not productive. That does not promote inclusion and equity or belonging. And so when we talk about happiness at work, we're going to do that in the next section. Think about the diversity, equity, inclusion, fostering belonging, and how can we create those roots together? I'm going to give you a hint. We start working on our own roots. And then we can combine our health with others because we all need to capture these concepts and begin working on empathy. All right, so happiness at work and the culture of belonging. Why happiness, optimism, resilience? There is evidence that positive affective states and other measures of well-being are associated prospectively with longer survival and reduced risk of disease. The benefits of a positive mindset. We are 30% more productive. We have a 37% increase in sales with a 19% increase in accuracy on tasks. Everyone has a story, and we want to help the customer shift the narrative. So just like I have a story of my life and you have a story of your life, the customer has the story of you and me providing customer service. They also have a story of the organization. We can shift that story with excellent customer service. So again, looking at this model of interacting and belonging, people can feel. We have intuition. Now, not everybody is in tune with their intuition, but we know as human beings when we're being treated differently. I was on a flight. I went to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil for a milestone birthday that I had in early 2020. And I was on my way back. And there was a lady, she was a Black woman from Texas, and she was sitting in the aisle, like right across the aisle from me. And here comes the flight attendant with another lady, and the other lady had the same assigned seat. So I'm looking at the boarding pass because the Black woman took it out to show the flight attendant she was actually in the right seat. And she had put up her luggage. She had put her seatbelt on. We were getting ready for a big international flight back to the US. And I saw it. I mean, she was in the right seat. She was assigned there, and so was the other lady. The other lady was white with blonde hair. And the stewardess ended up asking the Black woman to move. She moved her to the back of the plane in the corner seat in the very back. The Black woman looked at me and said, "Why do I have to move?" And it was one of those grievous moments where I knew we were in another country. This was another culture. I don't know if this stewardess understood, this flight attendant, how racist that was. Why are you moving the Black person and putting the blonde white person in their seat? Like, it really didn't make sense. And then there's this awareness that, you know, it's federal law that you listen to the flight attendants. And so there was just this processing. I did report it to the airline where they asked for feedback. I said it looked really bad to the rest of us, and I don't know what that was about. And again, you don't want to be accusatory. That was a real customer service moment. That flight attendant could make or break the reputation of this highly recognized, huge airline from the US. And so I'm not going to let my perception, my narrative of that airline be that they're racist, because I think that we take it too far when we generalize. That seemed very racist to me, and that was not good customer service. There were other solutions, and it's for that freedom in the framework. And that's for the company to decide in that situation, how could we handle that differently? That's a great scenario to role play. What about jealousy? It can block belonging. So we all become jealous of one another, and acknowledge that you're jealous by stepping away and observing the situation as objectively as possible. Have you ever been so jealous of someone that you treated them differently? Because that's what we do as human beings. That's why it's important to step away and to own it. And jealousy plays a key role. Because if we're acting differently, if we hear the customer say something and it triggers jealousy in us, we're going to treat them differently. Choose not to act on it. This is intentional, meaning you may feel hurt, afraid, angry. We want to regulate those emotions because we all have emotions, and it's important as part of our self-care. We're going to be the best professional when we regulate those emotions. What does that mean? Have you ever had something make you so mad? It's okay to be angry. But a lot of the times that anger is rooted in sadness and fear. And so a great way to address our anger, or the anger of a customer, is to think, okay, what am I afraid of right now? What am I sad about? Also, what's the customer afraid of right now? And what are they sad about? And it's often around a loss of control. We want to have control. We want to be heard. We want the right thing to happen. And we want to be treated fairly as the customer. And so there's a lot of fear of a lack of control, because there's been so much that's happened where we've lost control with the pandemic, that we're a little more sensitive to that currently. And there's a lot of sadness because we've had a lot of change and loss. How do we deal with change and loss? And how do we regulate the emotions? First of all, we normalize it, meaning it's normal to have these emotions. It's normal to be afraid because we have a loss of control. It's normal to be sad because of change. It's normal to be angry when we see injustice in the world. So those are normal feelings. If there was a snake in my pathway, I would be afraid, and that's normal to be afraid. That isn't diagnosable mental health issue with diagnosis of anxiety. That is just normal to feel. And so understanding that about ourselves and then regulating it. And what does that mean to regulate it? Where there's a model of change that we have. So shock, when change occurs or loss, it's unexpected, it disrupts our lives, and it changes our reality. And there's this biological process that we go through. We fight, we flight, or we freeze. Have you ever had a customer get mad? Because that's us fighting. We're fighting the system. It was unexpected, and we're shocked, and we're having to deal with this, and we didn't want to deal with it today, and here we are with this situation, and we're going to fight, or we're going to flight. We're going to leave it alone and avoid it, or we're going to freeze in the moment and not be able to speak or address it because it's just so overwhelming. When we're mad, we get defensive. And it feels so powerful. And that's why we get mad at customer service agents, because we want to feel that power, because we want to feel like we have a sense of control. Sometimes it's not about that customer service scenario. It's about something else going on in the person's life. And it's a safe space where it feels safe for the customer, where they can vent and take it out on someone. Because the norm is that customer service agent just has to take it, and they don't have a way to get out of that situation. I've had that happen back in college when I was waiting tables, where people would be very rude. And then I was studying mental health counseling. I was working on my master's degree, and I was putting that together that, oh, people act out towards people who are serving them. And it has nothing to do with me, because people want to feel power. Think about that with the empathy mapping of the customer. Could this be something else? How could I speak to it? We're going to talk about that in another section. Do we have the freedom to check in with the person? I was looking at insurance policies, and I was looking at a policy where I would have to pay out of pocket. And so I have routine doctor's visits. I called one specialist office, and automatically the lady was so rude and defensive that I was asking her how much it would cost to come in to do my checkup. This is a twice a year specialist visit. And so I finally called her on it. And I said, I don't understand why you're being so rude. And she backed down. That helped her realize the way she was speaking to me. As customer service providers, we should be able to do the same. We should be able to say, okay, is there something that I could be helpful with right now? Because you sound really upset, and there's only this part that I could do. How can I help the rest of the situation? Okay, we're speaking to what they're saying. We're letting them know only so much is in our control. And we're letting them know, okay, I hear you. I hear your concern. I am experiencing you being very angry right now. Like, are we free enough to do that? Most of the time, no. So this lady, she expressed, she said, well, people, they quote me and they say, I said it would cost this much, and it just varies. And so I said, okay, I understand that. So it was empathetic towards her. Now, there are times when I can be very defensive and rude. And so if that person gets an attitude with me, I mean, we're in a contentious conversation at that point, and I totally messed up. And I can't blame or reflect that back on them because I know it was me. But if I'm being very calm and polite and they're reacting, then, you know, I will calm them down with using empathetic words and reflection. So the next step is we rationalize. We like to blame. We like to minimize the impact. We like to project and deflect. And so it's not really about this, it's really about that, but I'm gonna make it about this in this moment because it's just too hard for me to face the reality of what's being hard in my life. So we work with each other. That's how the world operates. We have this consumerism culture around the world. We're receiving services, whether it's mental health or going to school or going to work or buying something or going to the doctor. These are all services. We go to the grocery store. This is customer service. It's not just one department. Everyone who works with people provides customer service. And so thinking, what is that person going through that they would act this way? That helps us to get some perspective. And we can't say that back to them, but there are some techniques that we can use, and we're gonna look at some case studies just to get us thinking, what could we do a little differently to be proactive with the customer? Because these are very stressful times for everyone, and we need to be intentional about these skills. So it's important with the change to accept what is happening and to have peace about it. So I may not get my way in a customer service situation, but I'm gonna accept what's in my control. I'm gonna do what I can, and I'm gonna let go of what I cannot control. And then I'm gonna have an active practice, an active decision to practice hope. Hope is powerful. When people are thinking of harming themselves or taking their own lives, that's something that is now assessed by mental health professionals. I know because I was in that role, your level of hope. And it's really shaking to see someone who doesn't have hope. I've seen it a few times and it's like a big wow, because normally, human beings can find something to bring us back to that moment of, okay, I can get perspective on this. I can have hope. I can choose to have hope. Most people. But there are those times where people are just hopeless. And it's important to look at our own hope levels. Because if we're not feeling very hopeful, then we're not going to act very kind. But if we have to put on a smile, that's going to affect us on the inside. And so it's finding that integration. How do we take care of ourselves? How do we take care of the customer? How do we calm them in that situation and not take it personally and not let it affect us? So these are some things that we're going to be talking about. The framework for successful customer service. Thank you for joining us today. I can be contacted at theresilientpathway.com. Please visit our website, like, share, and subscribe to our podcast, The Resilient Pathway.